The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, we've got a great show for you, neighbors. I'm starting to sound like Long John Neville. That's what he would say at the beginning of the show. If you ever heard of Long John Neville, he was a pioneer talk show host from the 1950s, 60s, and part of the 70s. And his stock and trade included stuff on UFOs and the paranormal. And he brought on all the people of its time. So that's where I started with this thing. Anyway, we've had discussions off and on the Paracast with regard to the possibility of a secret space program. Is that possible? That we're investing billions or trillions of dollars sending men and women to the moon, to Mars, elsewhere, but we don't account for it. But maybe there's a source of where this money's coming from. And Chris, you posted something in the Paracast forums that discusses something that's nothing unusual, which is military waste, rampant waste, tens of billions of dollars being wasted on various programs such as new aircraft. It's like all these big companies who build these things, not a single one of them competent enough to come in at or under budget. Do you think this is where all these black projects are being funded, Chris?
Well, I mean, if you look at September 10th, 2001, when Donald Rumsfeld announced the results of an audit that he had done upon becoming Secretary of Defense under George W. Bush, made the incredible announcement that $4.4 trillion was misplaced in the Pentagon, and the best they could figure is $2.2 trillion. It had vanished. So, I mean, that's a lot of money right there. So, I mean, you could look at the Clinton administration and before for other examples of misappropriated funds and that sort of thing. I'm always reminded of Richard Sauter combing through 30 years of defense appropriations bills looking for one penny of funding allocated for, at the time he wrote Underground Bases and Tunnels, What is the Government Trying to Hide? At that time, I think in the mid-90s, there was 129, I think, underground military facilities. And need I remind everybody, it's not cheap to create underground facilities. And in all those appropriation bills that he combed through, he could not find 1 cent of funding allocated for that purpose. And we, at the time, we knew that we had over 120 underground facilities. So these people have a carte blanche. They have an open credit line, the F-35. I mean, you can go down the list of the original Osprey program. You can go down the list of just boondoggles. And it's criminal, in my estimation, what has been going on with the unfettered purse strings opened up for the Department of Defense, and in some ways, I would think the intelligence agencies as well, especially the National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO, Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA. These are alphabet agencies you don't ever hear much about, but they get incredible amounts of money. So, you know, besides obviously making particular corporations extremely good investments with a good dividend for their investors. These programs are just basically, I don't really see much oversight on this. And I'm sure if $2.2 trillion can end up missing from the Pentagon, and as announced the day before 9/11, coincidentally, it wouldn't surprise me in the least that some of this money is being siphoned off for, you know, who knows what purposes, for breakaway space program, military applications into space. And it's the American people aren't going to take it for much longer. There's going to be hell to pay when that finally that little spark hits the powder magazine of culture. I think, you know, with this coming election, it doesn't matter who wins. The other half of the country is going to go ballistic. And mark my words, this is not going to be fun. It's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be it's going to be very, very ugly. And they better get their proverbial murder together or there's going to be hell to pay. And, you know, what else can you say?
This is the point that we notice here is that this waste is going to private industry. In every case, private industry is benefiting, and you have to think, is Lockheed really throwing away all that money on your aircraft, or are they sending all the secret projects into private industry? And you look at the various boondoggles over the years, and I think of the line from the movie Independence Day from Judd Hirsch. They first learn there is an Area 51. And he makes a remark, well, you don't think they really spent $700 on a toilet seat, do you? And that's approximately what he said. And it goes back to something that was real, that at one time, I think the Pentagon was paying, what, $700 for a toilet seat or some ridiculous fee. And you have to think either they're that stupid. And how can they be that stupid?
No, it's they think the American people are that stupid. How much did we spend on a pen that was able to operate in zero gravity when all the Russians did was use a pencil?
Well, yes, that too. But I'm saying to you is maybe that is the smokescreen where they say they're spending $700 on a toilet seat. They're spending $35 and the other $665 dollars is going to some secret project.
Well, they're probably spending $74, and the other $666 are going to some, you know, demonic, you know, secret black project. I think it's this can't continue. 57, I think, percent of money's spent by the U.S. government going to the into the military, and sure, it's one thing to have a strong defense, you know, to thwart any sort of attack on the homeland here. But all these bases we have, hundreds of bases in other countries and billions of dollars we send to Israel and to other countries, we got to start taking care of our own. And, you know, maybe Arizona's rubbing off on me. I'm starting to become an isolationist or something. But
So you're voting for Mr. Trump, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
You know, there was one person out there, comedian John Oliver, did a thing about Trump. And he decided to call him by his original name, the family name before they changed it, which is Drumpf.
Yeah, that's the sound he makes when somebody, you know, passes gas in his general direction. It's like, boom.
This show is going downhill real fast, folks, but I'll stop it right now. I'll put a stop to it right now. I think we should tell our listeners what we've got going for them this week. And there's a book out there from a scholar from Scotland, actually, name of David Robertson, and the book is called UFOs, Conspiracy Theories, and the New Age, Millennial Conspiracism. And this is a book that explores the New Age and conspiracy theories through the period from past the Cold War. And he gives an introduction. And he focuses on three figures that we know about, particularly Whitley Strieber, David Icke, and David Wilcock. Now, the only thing about this book I have to tell you right now, it's currently available in a hardcover edition that costs $112 in America. For a book of fairly normal size, there will be a low-cost paperback version next year. So if you like the book and you like the concepts, the things that David Robertson is talking about, don't feel constrained to have to buy the book today and spend a bundle of money. Wait till next year, okay? And this will focus on UFOs and all sorts of interesting things. So I think we'll have a really pleasant discussion. I had a few moments to talk to David earlier on before we did the show, and he sounds like a really nice guy, so I think you'll really enjoy this. Again, the book is UFOs, Conspiracy Theories in the New Age, Millennial Conspiracism. What a phrase. we got coming up next with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
I know that a lot of our listeners are interested in UFOs, the issue of giant skeletons found in America, paranormal investigations, and what the top researchers think about such topics. One online magazine has been presenting such unusual information since 1985. It is Alternate Perceptions Magazine at apmagazine.info. Use their search function to find articles on just about every topic imaginable. That's apmagazine.info. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believed so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-GOLD.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The book is UFOs, Conspiracy Theories and the New Age from David G. Robertson. And David's speaking to us from his palatial estate. Not really. His home.
Well,
in Scotland.
Yeah. We all live in castles in Scotland. Surely you know that.
Right down the street from Sean Connery, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Actually, Sean Connery did used to be a milkman in Edinburgh. It's a famous story about him. Before he made the big time.
Before it was Mr. Universe.
No, he ran for Mr. Universe, but he was a runner-up.
Oh, okay. Well, not to a lot of millions of women out there. Boy, he's number one in their book.
He's kind of one of Scotland's favorite sons, it has to be said.
And he looks good in a kilt.
He does. He looks good in most things, to be honest.
Yeah, he's
or sexy knees.
People are going to wonder how we go from UFOs and conspiracy theories to Sean Connery. But then he was in one of the Indiana Jones movies where they got into some of that stuff. So there you go.
Well, yeah, I saw a cartoon on Facebook, and it showed two Scotsmen in kilts looking at the symbols of male and female on the doors of the loos, and they were both the same, and they were scratching their head trying to figure out which one they were supposed to go in. Of course, they were dressed in kilts, so... Anyway, yeah, I digress.
The way to tell the difference is that the women don't have beards. That's the...
Okay. Yes. Hey, well, you know, whatever keeps you nice and drafty.
David, what attracted you, of all subjects, to UFOs? What's your background?
My background is just a fairly ordinary working-class Scottish boy. I didn't really have any... great interest in UFOs. I've certainly never seen a UFO, but, you know, Scotland's got a rich kind of history of odd things, so there was always stories about the Loch Ness Monster, and I always loved those kind of, you know, paranormal kind of stories. But when I went to university and to do religious studies, studying religion, I came across the name of David Icke on a course about New Age religions, and it reminded me of seeing him on the television when I was young, when I was, I think, 15, maybe 16, when he did his famous interview with Terry Wogan, the recently deceased Terry Wogan. And I remembered seeing that as a boy, and it all kind of came back to me, so I started delving into his books a bit more. But at the same time, I'd been reading... a lot of Robert Anton Wilson stuff. I'm sure you and your listeners will know who Robert Anton Wilson is, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah. And he sort of, through him, I got interested in conspiracy theories. And then luckily, you know, Icke brought the two things back together. And I realized, well, hey, there's a whole world about conspiracy theories you know, kind of alternative religious beliefs that nobody's really... looking at in any depth. And so I started to do so, and found that it was pretty rich soil. And the UFO thing kind of came later, as I was delving more into this world, meeting up on people like, you know, David Icke, Whitley Strieber, David Wilcock, Jim Mars, Chuck Missler, all these various people. I noticed that UFOs was this kind of common thread amongst all these different groups, and that's where it came from, really.
Why have UFOs become, as you say, the common thread amongst all these people? Because if you cover people like a Jim Mars,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's conspiracies are us. He's got a whole bunch of them. Same thing with Ken Thomas. You know who Ken Thomas is, right?
I actually don't, but I will be finding out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Parapolitics, Steam Shovel Press,
one of our top
conspiracy scholars.
I know Steam Shovel, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the point being here is, why does it all come down to UFOs? Even with the Kennedy assassination, there's a UFO thing in there.
Yeah, it's. I think there's a couple of reasons. One reason is that there's always been these two different threads of UFO conspiracism. There's always been this kind of nuts and bolts side of it. But there's also always been this spiritual version of it. I mean, as early as the, you know, the early 1950s, people are, you know, the contactees, for instance, is a very good example of that.
You focus a little bit on George Adamski. And I think we should mention this because last week or two, I actually got a letter from somebody who wanted to bring on the Paracast, an individual who was part of a George Adamski Foundation. Now, to show you my background, I was a close friend of the late Jim Moseley, who back in 1957 did a really, really solid expose of Adamski. But, you know, Adamski wasn't just a guy who claimed to meet up with Orthon, the silvery-suited spaceman in the desert. He went back many years in his interest in mysticism and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And many, many of the contactees did. The contactee movement really grows out of the late Theosophical Society. The UFOs become... do you know about the idea of the hidden masters? That the idea that there are these sort of transcendent beings who are guiding the spiritual development of mankind on the earth.
Blavatsky.
Yeah, it comes from Blavatsky originally. And originally they're humans. They're humans who live in places like Tibet. But gradually they become they're humans who have transcended the physical world completely and are, you know, basically become spiritual beings. And gradually, following, you know, 1947 and Kenneth Arnold, by the early 50s, suddenly the UFOs are the masters. And it's the same progression, you know, from distant parts of our world to Mars and Venus and then to, you know, different stars. It's exactly the same as the one that you were talking about last week, actually, which I listened to.
Well, and you also have the Urantia book and OWASPE. Is that how you say it, Gene?
OWASPE.
OWASPE.
Right? I think.
And, you know, there are other sort of branches off that particular theosophical tree.
Absolutely.
One thing, I share a quick little anecdote here.
It's going to be a one-minute anecdote.
I was on my way in 1976 hitchhiking upstate New York, and I got picked up by a guy in a Beamer who hardly ever looked at the road the whole way up the Taconic Parkway, which just freaked me out. And he was going to a theosophical weekend, and so I went up. I was with a friend, and we went up there, and I saw a little gray-haired women with black cats on their shoulders. There was a cloud over the mountain the whole time, raining. Everywhere else, it was clear. I saw the head of nursing for New York University totally eradicate a case of nasty poison ivy with her kind of rubbing the aura of the person that had been afflicted. Amazing weekend. It left quite an impression on me, and I ended up doing quite a bit of research into the Theosophical Society.
Okay, we've got more to cover. The book is UFOs, Conspiracy Theories, and the New Age with David Robertson. And this is just going to get more fascinating by the moment. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believes so strongly in gold that he changed gold ownership forever by bringing back physical gold to the American public, allowing gold coins to be minted and sold to U.S. citizens just like you, starting in 1985. Gold ownership can help protect your financial future, especially when our national debt is spiraling out of control. Many smart Americans have kept their retirements from being wiped out during America's financial crisis thanks to physical gold coins. I strongly urge you to call the U.S. Money Reserve at 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a special gold guide with new, never-before-released information about gold from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. I'm Michael Reagan. Thank you.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. If you're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu, I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Farmington, New Mexico, Thursday, May 12th at 7 p.m. Go to www.cdocinfarmington.com. That's www.cdocinfarmington.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We move on with David Robertson, but before we go back, let me tell you, we'd like you to join up to the Paracast Plus, where you get the After the Paracast podcast, an exclusive feature. We give you the ad-free version of this show. We've got some show transcripts up there. More videos coming. A lot of special features. For a low subscription rate, monthly, annually, 5 years, lifetime, take your choice. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. The book is called UFOs, Conspiracy Theories, and the New Age with David Robertson. David, with regard to Adamski, he was quoted in the Saucer News expose issue from Jim Moseley, is saying sometimes you have to go through the back door to present the truth. So I take it here that a lot of these people used aliens, UFOs, as just a means to an end. It was the best way to sell their message.
By these people, you mean the contactees?
Yes, people like Adamski, who had presented their viewpoint in the mouths of others, but now if everybody's talking about UFOs and we have the influence of movies such as Day the Earth Stood Still, if people like that are presenting their message, does that make it easier to gain acceptance?
Well, I guess it does, but I was this after he was kind of debunked that he said this? Because it sounds to me like a strategy for explaining away why he was lying.
Well, it does, but he said this to one of his followers, evidently.
Right.
But it's not something that's been widely quoted, and certainly the people who still support Adamski after all these years are not going to admit to that phrase.
No, of course not, never. And, I mean, Blavatsky had a similar thing happen where the early messages from the masters were being, the Society for Psychical Research were on the case, and they thought they knew the trick that was being done to produce them. And it's part of the reason that she left Britain. because I'm more interested, I come from more of a religious studies background where I'm more looking at the things that people say and the reasons they say it rather than the truth or otherwise of what they're saying from a, you know, from a physical point of view. I think that there's both kinds of things going on. I think sometimes people are just jumping on the latest bandwagon. I mean, I think Adamski was certainly a bit of a showman in many respects. But there are other people who I think are completely genuine in that they think they are getting these messages. So I think that the proportion of people who are doing it merely to, you know, to get their message through and deliberately putting it in UFO language is relatively small, I would think. I mean, certainly somebody like David Icke's a good example of that. I mean, a lot of people accuse him of sort of coming up with these elaborate theories just to kind of sell books and
but he doesn't come up with elaborate theories. He steals years of research that other people do and then uses it, picks and, you know, cherry picks the data and then presents it as his own. There's an old adage, you know, if you steal from one person, it's plagiarism. If you steal from a bunch of people, it's research. I've seen him. I've sat there and watched. God, I hate to admit this. I was forced to go by his ex-wife. I had a front row seat and I was in sunglasses so I could sleep. But I ended up sitting there taking notes because I was trying to compile the list of people that he stole their work and put his own stamp on it. And to me, it's just inexcusable.
Yeah, he's definitely a synthesis, if we were to put it politely, we could say that. Of course, there's a long history of the conspiracy world and the sort of paranormal world of people building consecutively on other people's work. But certainly, yes, he has been guilty of outright plagiarism. And often there's stuff in his books that's, you know, like, I read in a post, and you don't get a reference to what post it was or who wrote it or anything. So, yeah, definitely.
Moving on here, using, of course, the UFO medium to present these ideas. Conspiracy theories in general is something that seems to infect everybody because nobody believes the explanation is presented for any event. And Kennedy assassination is the classic event where we can't believe that one lone gunman, one fool who once defected to the Soviet Union and came back here, I can't believe this guy did it. It had to be the CIA. It had to be the international bankers. It had to be organized crime. It had to be Johnson. It had to be the space people. I don't know. It all gets confused. What is there about these theories that gain so much traction, forgetting, again, about whether they're real or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It's been said that, you know, that the size of the problem that we struggle to come to terms with is what causes us to look for, you know, these big conspiracies. I mean, the Kennedy assassination is a very good example. Clearly, for a lot of people, it is easier to accept that there is a secret group of people who run the world and yet they've never heard of them and nobody knows about them than it is to accept that this one mad guy came back from Russia and shot him on his own, got a lucky couple of shots. But there's a lot of reasons. I think partly it's to provide connecting explanations, but also I think there is, as you say, an increasing kind of distrust of mainstream narratives, if you want to put it that way, you know, of hegemonic control over knowledge. You know, the French philosopher and theorist Bruno Latour has pointed this out, that in fact the logic of conspiracy theorists is almost indistinguishable from a sort of popularized version of Marxist theory, right? It's critical theory made popularized, basically. So instead of it being the bourgeoisie who are, you know, the people who own the wealth, it's the Illuminati or, you know, the John Birch Society or whoever. So, I mean, I think that's part of it. It is an increasing awareness of people that there is perhaps more issues of power and control going on in what we accept as true. And yet they lack the critical faculties to judge evidence properly. As you said this last week when you were talking about Adamski again, you know, that they just didn't know the difference between a fact and a belief. But I think there's also a theodicy is an important idea. I mean, it's a kind of religious studies term, but it's basically the simple way of putting it is, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? Conspiracies offer a good explanation for that. Well, the world isn't fair and the world isn't peaceful and loving because some bad people made it that way. It helps to explain the iniquities of the world, I guess.
Now, to be fair about the Kennedy assassination, a congressional committee some years later did conclude that a conspiracy was involved, but that was the end of it. They never really explored that conspiracy.
Right. I mean, that's absolutely true, but most people don't point out that there were several other congressional hearings, all of which were in favor of the lone shooter. One said there was a probable conspiracy, and several other. I think there was about five or six in total.
Well, that's a case here is where if you have five choices, and the one that sounds simplest, you say, I don't want that one. I want the other four, or vice versa.
But, right, yeah, and I mean, in creating these large conspiracy narratives, that's often the case. You know, people will go, here's a fact, but not taken out of context. So in that one, you can say, oh, well, you know, this congressional hearing found there likely was. But actually, if you take the whole set of data on balance, it's outnumbered, you know, 5-1. It's the same as when David Icke says that all science that says that the, you know, the physical world is all there is, it's nonsense. But then one person publishes a paper that says the world's a hologram, and this is proof, you know, absolute proof. It's a lack of understanding how knowledge is produced and how, well, you know, as you said, the difference between a fact and a belief. You can connect dots all you like, but when you get to choose what the dots are, it's the Bible code all over again, right?
We've got David Robertson with Gene and Krister in
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're talking about UFOs, conspiracy theories, and the New Age with the author David Robertson. Chris.
I think as you were pointing out at the end of the segment, there is a growing lack of critical thinking, I think, among the average people out there. I think we're seeing scientism and materialism and uber-rationalism has become so ivory tower in nature that the people are losing a connection to the state of the art in the scientific community, let's say, or how governments are run, or some of the myriad problems that we have around the world. And people, instead of getting doing the work and getting themselves up to speed and being informed and educated about issues, their eyes glaze over and, you know, they let their TV kind of suggest how they're supposed to think about particular controversies or subject matter. And I think it's a dumbing down of the population. I think myself that it's being done on purpose. I think people that are attempting to do serious research are being marginalized and being cast amongst the great unwashed, uninformed masses who are absolutely, they're more concerned about, getting selfies of themselves every other minute. It's just, the last two words I think added to the English language were selfie and twerking. I think that kind of gives an indication of where the culture is going. There is something to Mark Mothersbaugh and Jerry Casals, Devo, the de-evolution of the boogeyman or whatever. I think we are seeing de-evolution.
I absolutely agree with you that the media is designed to not make us questioning or challenging. Absolutely. I don't know if the masses are any more dumb than they ever were, to be honest. They just have more of a voice now, perhaps. But there's also, there's issues, things like the way that the internet is going. I mean, the internet was supposed to be the great liberator of information, but in fact, it's actually narrowing our encounters with uncomfortable facts. I mean, Facebook's a very good example of this, right? We subscribe to publications and people that we like, and we come into contact with those, with what they share over and over again, and very seldom do we come into contact with something from outside that circle. So we get this increasing kind of epistemic, limitation. Tunnel vision, exactly. It's like we're in an echo chamber, right? We hear our beliefs being told to us again and again, and we're given that evidence, but we're not given anything that counters it because that isn't, what we're following and sharing. So I think that there's more polarization along those lines is a large part of the problem.
Good point. I think people tend to unfriend people on Facebook if they even get a whiff of some sort of point of view or, I don't know, something that just runs counter to their particular beliefs and their particular conclusions. And people tend to feel more comfortable when they're surrounded by the echo of the echo chamber, as opposed to really breaking through that and attempting to be educated on all sides of a particular issue or a subject, or you know, looking at different points of view within when academia addresses a subject or the scientific community. I think that it's becoming so specialized in terms of science and academia and politics. These things have become so specialized and so stovepiped that people have a hard time breaking through that. And let's face it, you know, I mean, you're putting two young kids to bed and you're on a radio show, in late evening there. You could be doing something different, but no, you're actually getting out there. You're getting the message out. You're trying to explain to people that, hey, there's more than one way to look at things. But I think people's natural inclination is they don't want to. They're too overworked, too bored. They're too dumb not to know that they should be doing that even. And I think it's a snowball going down the hill. And I don't unless it hits a big wall and at the end of the hill.
But, you know, I totally agree with you. I think academia shares some of the responsibility for that. I mean, academics are generally terrible at communicating with people, and especially with communicating with people from outside their own discipline. They make very little effort to tell the average person in the street or even, you know, through journalism or whatever, why their work is important and why the position that we look at things from also should have a place at the table. And I think that means that academic work is, and when you do get academic work, which might be of interest, it's kind of ignored, right? Because it becomes impenetrable because they're only speaking to other academics and not interested in speaking to the members of the public.
Well, and to compound the problem, academia tends to become knee-jerk conservative. Everybody's too afraid to stick their necks out and run counter to prevailing thought and theories that have already been accepted by the mainstream of their discipline. So it's much harder now, I think, for out-of-the-box thinkers within a particular scientific discipline. And this runs across the board through culture. It's not only science. It's not only academia. Or, you know, you have a perfect example in politics going on right now here in this country. It's, you know, something's got to change. People have got to wake up, and they've got to take the time to become informed. And I just don't see that happening, unfortunately.
No, the couple of generations in Britain, there's been a real move away from, you know, the post-war period, the working class had a real desire to educate themselves and, you know, to be involved in the political situation and reform the country and to make it a fairer place. And that's been lost now. There's a real anti-intellectualism. And I mean, the same thing in the States, I'm sure. A real sort of feeling of not being able to do anything anyway, so why bother? Let's just watch, game shows or watch television programs of other people watching television.
Right. And again, to even compound things even to the nth degree here, it's a self-perpetuating feedback loop, like a fractal that's going in on itself. And the worse it gets, the worse it gets. And the worse it gets, the worse it gets. And people, I think they just there's something in a lot of people, just there's a switch that gets clicked off. And so what you have is a lot of people that are being overwhelmed by the fact that they're not up to speed on things. And then somebody can come along and put things together in a way that sort of resonates within their own minds, whether it's conspiratorial in nature, whether it's spiritual and religious in nature. And then they will jump into that particular person's trip, if you will, for lack of a better word, and buy into it more readily, as opposed to being a little bit more circumspect and sitting back and going, well, wait a minute, this doesn't quite ring true, this doesn't quite ring true. They just accept everything lock, stock, and barrel. And I think it's intellectual laziness, really, is what it boils down to. I really do. I'm constantly seeing, you know, you're trying to educate somebody about something, and they just don't want to hear about it. It's like, how dare you think that I'm wrong?
Now, to show you how this has really pervaded our popular culture, our condition, there is a TV show, a comic book TV show, where the villain engages in a plot to take over the memories, control the memories of everybody living in the city in which these events take place. And his logic is a populace more interested in reality stars and political circuses than working together to solve the world's problems. Now, that sounds like a smart statement, which it is, but believe it or not, it came from last week's episode of Supergirl.
Right. Well, Siegel and Schuster, who came up with Superman and which all the sort of Superman family characters are based on, were both Jewish, emigres from Nazi Germany. So there's it's not surprising that themes that echo kind of Goebbels' use of propaganda and things like that are found in those comics. I mean, just like the name Superman coming from Nietzsche, for instance.
The fact that they are reflecting popular culture is...
I think they were critiquing the control of popular culture by the media in order to control them. It's definitely something that they very much saw as deeply tied to the Nazi regime, and that wasn't the case in America, and that's why they were kind of critiquing it.
We have David Robertson. We're talking about UFOs, conspiracy theories, and the New Age. And in the book, he focuses, as we pointed out, on several individuals, including Whitley Strieber. And since we had Whitley Strieber on the PowerCast for the very first time a few weeks ago, I thought we'd talk more about that with David in our next segment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.